part. We'll see in a few moments that part of the reason that the Jews started the rebellion against the Roman Empire is because they felt convinced that the Roman Empire was falling apart, that Rome would never be able to mobilize its forces to defeat them. They guessed wrong by about 300 years. But on the surface, when you had Nero as the emperor, and when you had all of these wild events going on, when you had Roman legions constantly fighting against each other, when everything could be accomplished with graft and bribery, so one can appreciate that there would be a glimmer of hope that Rome was falling apart. And that when it fell apart, the Jews would be able to carve out their little piece and be able to be independent. So when all of this was happening, you have here a great Jew, Rabban Gamliel, who makes moral law not only theoretically possible, but practically possible. And who legislates moral law without the power of a police force and without the power of an army, but with the power of morality and of Jewish tradition, he legislates it into Jewish life, into the Mishnah, into the Halacha, and his decisions remain until today. And mipnei tikkun olam, in order to improve the world, in order to strengthen society, in order to make life more just and more fair, remains a basic concept and idiom in Jewish law and halacha, even today. And that's, I have pointed out to you before in history, it's zel umazel so Elohim. God allows extremes to coexist at the same time. Now, one extreme, the general world is just destroying itself and has no morality. It doesn't even have a punishment for robbery, for murder, for thievery, for anything. And on the other hand, there's this little Jew that's trying, you know, to make life more courteous and more honest and more fair and to give the lower class a better chance and to equal everything out. And we will see that Rabban Gamliel prevailed. In this whole story, the main story of the history is that the losers always win. The weaker group, so to speak, prevails somehow in history. And there are many more people who are acquainted with Rabban Gamliel than with Nero. Nero's only claim to fame is his marvelous violin. But Rabban Gamliel, there are thousands and tens of thousands of children who every year study what he had to say and take it into account. And there are millions of people who attempt to live a life based on his ideas and ideals. He was the grandson of Hillel, and he's the true heir of Hillel because he took his grandfather's ideas and his way of life and he put them into the Jewish law, into the Jewish way of expression and of behavior. It's interesting also that he apparently is the first to begin to collect the notes which later would become the Mishnah, which 150 years later would be transcribed and edited by Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi as the Mishnah. There are many Rishonim who say that Rabban Gamliel is when the Mishnah says Mishnah Rishona. There are different levels in the Mishnah of time. The Mishnah was not written in one day. The Mishnah developed over a century. So Mishnah Rishona, the first Mishnah. So it's not clear what they meant by the first Mishnah. But Halevi and others say that Mishnah Rishona began at the time of Rabban Gamliel Azoke. And it probably began as the listing of his takonos, of his laws that he passed in order to improve society, etc. We'll see later that there's a mission of Rabbi Akiva, there's a mission of Rabbi Meir, till we finally come to the mission of Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi, which is built upon the previous ones. But those notes were not meant for public consumption.